ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode explores, expands, and evolves the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity, joy, and exponential growth. And now, here is your host, Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Adventures in Truth livecast. My name is Jim Case. Excited to be here. My apologies, a couple minutes late this morning. Ran into some bizarro technical. My camera and my microphone just vanished, and I couldn't figure out what happened. But we're back, and we're live, and we're good. So welcome to the show. And thank you for being here. Thank you for being a part of the Adventures in Truth family. I would so appreciate, depending on where you are, if you're watching on E360 TV, if you're watching on Facebook Live or YouTube Live, please like or subscribe or share wherever you are. Let people know we're here. If you're on Facebook, you can go to the Adventures in Truth Facebook page, and on that page, wherever you see the live window, as we're talking, you can join us live on the show. If you have a question or comment, you can leave that in the notes there, and it'll come to me here in the studio, and I'll be happy to respond. So welcome to the show. I'm glad you're here. The show today is going to be pretty awesome. We're going to be talking about my book, Fear is a Choice, particularly Chapter 7, The Illusion of Separation. And we're going to dive into that wholeheartedly. We're going to go through the chapter and talk in depth about the evolution of all of that good stuff. And I'm really excited to get to do this with you today. So if you have questions throughout, if you have thoughts about it throughout, don't hesitate. Shoot your notes in to me. I'd love to hear them. Love to hear your feedback and be a part of that. So welcome to the show. And we're going to take a quick break. And we're going to look at My World is Good. And then we're going to dive right in. So bear with me. We'll be back in just a second. All right. This is the year of conscious creation. We're starting with My World is Good because we're spending the show on the book. So My World is Good. This has been a powerful, powerful experience for the last 9 months. I started this at the beginning of this year, and this was really about me wanting to reach out as in any way that I could to help impact energy in a positive way. We've seen so much negative or apparently negative stuff kind of flooding the airwaves and flooding, you know, kind of every direction that I wanted to do something and engage us in a way that allowed us to create something positive easily within our world. And I see us as you know, 7.5 to 8 billion unique worlds that are inhabiting planet Earth. And I say that because ultimately no one can live your life for you. Ultimately, no one can make choices for your life without your consent. No one can choose how you feel. No one can choose what you believe. No one can choose how you choose to create your life. So we each have a responsibility and an enormous, inordinate power of creation. And I wanted to focus that energy. I want to all of us to come together in this sort of neutral, positive place of My World is Good, and sharing that extraordinary energy with ourselves, but then expanding that energy, because I believe very powerfully where two or more are gathered, that energy expands. And so if I am working within my world is good, and I am seeing the goodness in my world, and I am expanding and unfolding the goodness in my world, as we come together, as we bring similar energy together, so if you're carrying that and I'm carrying that, we share that energy, and that energy becomes a tipping point in the consciousness as more and more and more of us are involved in that. And the great thing is there's no heavy requirements here other than your energy, your intention, and your attention. No, I don't need emails and I don't need all that stuff. I just need you to focus your energy with me on a daily basis. And to that end, I am now going to create on a daily basis a call that we can get into. And this call won't be any more than maybe 15 minutes long, but My World is Good. It's a way of taking it to the next level, that we can spend 15 minutes on a call spinning our energy up. And it's going to be an active 15 minutes. We're going to be using breath. We're going to be using My World is Good. But this call is going to create another level of excitement and enthusiasm about this energy, and that you'll be able to drop in on this call, be there for the 15 minutes, get energized, expand your energy, get into that space, and then carry that energy into the world and get to see it happening in real time. And I think that's really powerful. So remember, My World is Good, 10 times when you wake up, 10 times at the end of the day, and then use it throughout the day. Whenever you're feeling out of alignment, whenever you're feeling a little off, whenever you're confronting something that you're uncomfortable with, you can use My World is Good to continually build that goodness in your life so that the best possible outcomes can be created by you in every situation that you're working through. Does that mean you're not going to have, or does that mean you'll never have a negative experience again? No. But what it does mean is that you'll be able to frame it differently. You'll be able to see it for what it is and be able to respond to it, because you know your world is good. So the apparency of it not being particularly good in a situation, you realize is an illusion, and you can influence that. You can change that and move things forward. Because remember, everything that shows up in your world is stuff that you've called forth. It's stuff that you are creating. So it's all sourced from the same place. So if you're creating it, you can create something new. You can create something more powerful. My world is good. Feel it. Speak it, and then feel it some more. My world is good. And don't forget to add the element of appreciation in there as you're talking about it, as you're feeling into My World is Good. Focus in appreciation on anything in your world that you feel good about, that you feel positive about, that you feel appreciation for, and let that just continue to generate this enormous energy in moving you forward. So thank you for being part of this. Thank you for being part of this movement. Thank you for sharing your experiences, and I ask you to share this movement with as many people as you can. Let them know it's out there. Let them know that they can participate too, and that we can do this together. And I'll have more information about that call coming down the pipe here in just about a week or so. Okay, looking forward to it. We'll be right back right after this break to dive into my fears of choice. All right, here we go. The illusion of separation. I'm excited about this. Guys, if you're interested, www.fearsofchoicebook.com. You can go there to learn more about the book, to gather more information, the links to order the book. You can go there to order your book through Barnes & Noble and IndieBound and all that. And also check out videos and testimonials there as well. And you can reach out to me there if you have questions or comments about the book. So Fears of Choice book, here it is. Hard to see there. There it is. Fear is a Choice book. I'm very proud of this book because this book is really about changing your relationship with fear in a very profound and positive way. And so I wanted to take these opportunities here with these shows to really dive into the work so that if you haven't had a chance to read it yet, you can get a sense of where it's going, what it's about, and how it can impact and change your relationship with fear and create a very powerful, powerful change in your life. So chapter 7 is all about the illusion of separation. And we're going to just dive right in here for a minute before we go into a moment of focus, because I want to kind of set this introduction for you here. So chapter 7, the illusion of separation. In the introduction, I shared how my life had become like a storm brewing inside of me. One of the worst parts of that storm was how incredibly alone I felt. At the time, I didn't understand that I was never separate from God or Source. So in a way, I felt a sense of abandonment, which fueled a sense of fear of not being good enough. Why? Well, because the core beliefs that we are separate from God stimulate feelings of unworthiness. As in, if I'm separate, it must be because I'm not worthy of God's love or attention. This is an important thing to me, and we're going to pause here, and then we're going to go into meditation. We'll carry on further. This is really important to me because this is the essence, I think, of how, even from the earliest states, and this is in other parts of the book too, even from our earliest experiences, we come into this experience just a love bundle, right? We come into this experience just love in form. And it is in this experience that we begin to change that experience, because as a little person, we don't have the reasoning capability. So when something happens in our world, our parents are upset. someone's upset about something, or they're upset with us, whatever the case may be, the natural inclination is to take that in and go, wow, there's an absence of love here. What have I done? Because we don't understand yet at all what's going on in this new experience of being birthed and being in the physical reality. So we automatically assume something's defective here rather than letting whatever's out there be whatever it is, because we don't see separation that way. So we internalize that experience. So that's why the first couple paragraphs are so important. If I'm separate, it must be because I'm not worthy of God's love or attention. Powerful, powerful words. Take that in for a minute. Just the first couple paragraphs as we go into taking a moment of focus. Again, we're two or more gathered, and my world is significant. And I like to do this at the beginning of the show. I love this part of the show because it's where the rubber meets the road. I encourage you guys on a regular to make sure you're doing your daily practice, to be involved in shifting your energy and expanding your vibration. And so this moment of focus is about that. It is about helping us to bring all of our energy together. In the context of the show, I love it because as we harmonize our energies and align our fields through this process, then more and more information and ideas can flow because our collective energy is focused in this moment. And so we get to have an even deeper conversation because even though you're not in front of me, your energy is a part of me. It's a part of this experience. So those questions and those desires that you have can be answered because we are all energy, excuse me. Talking a lot. Because we are all energy. And being all energy, we can share that just by the choice of focusing it. And so that's what this process is about. So let's begin by focusing by breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth. In through the nose and out through the mouth. And we're going to bring this breath into full cycle as we go later, but I want you to focus into your breath. And as you do, focus that awareness into the center of your chest, into your heart space. And if you want, you could even take your two middle fingers and gently feel along your breastbone. There's a soft spot right in the center of your heart space that you can just gently connect with. We call it a merge, just a gentle merge, not a pressure, not a push, just a gentle contact, stimulating the piezoelectric response in the collagen of the body, stimulating an electrical response that sends impulses through the entire energetic system. And so as you're breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth, you're focusing yourself, you're focusing into your heart, and you're settling into this moment right now as you inhale through the nose and exhale from the mouth. And now let your eyes close as you gently settle into the space that you're in, whether you're sitting or laying down. Of course, if you're driving, please don't close your eyes. Pull off somewhere and let yourself follow this meditation. Oh, breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth as you settle into your body. And focusing into that heart space now, I want you to become aware of your field, your energy. What does that mean? I just want you to allow your awareness to expand, and I want you to become aware of all that you are. This field, this energetic field that expands way beyond your physical body. And you can quote unquote see this in whatever way you see things, however you experience them. Some people feel them. Some people have a sense of things. Some actually see them. Some kind of see them. Some have a totally different experience. Your experience is powerful. Your experience is necessary, and your experience is you. So be with that experience however it is as you experience your field. And let your awareness of that field clarify. Just be there as you're breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth. And notice the enormity of who you are in energy. This expansive you, this incredible you that expands out beyond the physical body. And be connected with that space. Be connected to that energy in that field. And notice as you look around in the field, notice what you see there. And as you look around, you may notice that there are areas in your field that are kind of denser than other. They're thicker, they're heavier, they're more condensed. These are ideas and thought forms and emotions and situations that you've held in your field. Maybe they're not resolved. Maybe you don't know why they're there. Maybe there's lots of reasons for them to be there. the trick is that the more of those there are, the less energy is available to you in your now moment. So it's important to be aware of those because you want to be able to let them go. You want to be able to surrender those energies so that your space can be clear. And you may not know what they are, and that's okay. Sometimes the breath, as you're breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth, oftentimes the breath is the way to shift and release those things. Because energy in and energy out is very simple. I always tell people, whenever you're working through stuff through this process of using breath, when you encounter a belief system or when you encounter a trauma or when you encounter an emotional system that has an emotional experience that has impacted you, the energy goes in and is held in place by the emotion. And so the emotion kind of makes this sort of densification because we begin to build the belief systems around these things. And what I want to clarify here is that through breath, you can begin to release those things as you spin your energy up and the vibration can no longer sustain these. They have to break up and separate, but they go out the way they came in. What I mean by that is you may in the moment experience a momentary emotional experience. It's not anything to attach to. It's not anything to be holding on to. It's simply the energy leaving the space. It's expressing and it's leaving. And that's what you want it to do. Let it express. Be there for that moment. Don't make anything more of it than it is. If there's something there that you need to be informed by, it will inform you. You will understand. Because in the space of receptivity that you're creating through this breath, you are allowing for that possibility and you are allowing for these things to unfold without resistance. So as we continue to breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth, focus your awareness continued into the heart, and then bring all of that energy, that huge field that you've just become conscious of, bring all of that field and consciously pull it into your heart. Literally, feel yourself bringing all of your field into the center of your heart. Feel the warmth and the tingling moving inside of your body. You feel this powerful, incredible energy fill your heart space. And as you bring that energy into your heart, I want you to become aware of your internal nature. What do I mean by that? I mean, get into a relationship with the physical body in a way that you never have before. Be on the inside, experiencing who you are on the inside. What's happening on the inside? Let your consciousness, let that energy that you've pulled in travel through your brain cavity. Explore your brain. Tap your pituitary with your energy, right? Feel into the grooves of the brain and that amazing organ that sits in this big chamber of fluid surrounded by bone, and trace in through that as you go around the back into the brainstem and where the brainstem connects to the spine, and just be in awe of this extraordinary thing called the spine that's surrounded in this amazing fluid and encased in bone to protect it, and the nerves that radiate off of this incredible conductor, that runs up and down your body all the time, conducting energy, raising and lowering vibration. And then let that exploration go into the huge cavities of your body as you explore the bones and the muscles and the blood vessels and the tissues and the organs of this being. Just being in awe of the harmony that continues on a daily basis, a constant movement toward balance, a constant flow into alignment, that we impact with every thought, every belief, every emotion that we experience. And it is ours to align. It is ours to come into that alignment. But notice inside how all of that happens organically, and that if we can allow it, we can too act in that organic space. So allowing that positive energy to flow, allowing that incredible energy to just continue to move through your body and experience you. Experience the physicalness of you and how powerfully all of this physicalness is in harmony with you and being alive and aliveness. Because as you breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth, as you explore even down to the cellular level, you will experience an exuberance of life in this moment. Be in that exuberance because that is what changes our world. That is what surrenders the need for fear. That is what connects us to love in the deepest possible way. Feeling that And now I want you to consciously allow that energy to begin to move out into your into the outer space again. You've been containing this with your breath, and now I want you to open up your breath and just breathe your field back out and feel the magnificence of who you are as that energy expands and the body responds in this joyous dance of life. And now, continuing to focus into the heart, I want you to focus this breath in through the nose and out through the mouth. We're going to do some counted breathing now. We're going to regulate, because what I know is breath is about life force. It's about chi. It's about prana. It is about the life of, it is about the energy of creation. And so every time we breathe is a moment of creation. So we're going to breathe in through the nose to a count of four. We're going to fill completely to a count of four. And then at that fullness, we're going to rest for just a moment, feeling the richness of that space. And then we're going to consciously choose to surrender it and exhale to a count of six. And we exhale to a count of six so that we can purge all the deepest parts of the lungs of old energy and old air as we prepare to embrace the next moment of creation. And that next moment is that inhale. But before we get there, we're going to rest in the void. We're going to rest in that anticipation, in that space of allowing that gives us permission to be in not know, simply and easily, just being in not know. And then consciously choosing to engage the lungs as we pull in that next round of air, that next moment of creation of life. And so walk with me as we do this. We focus into the heart, into the breath as we inhale. Two, three, four, feeling amazingly full and rich as we rest into that, relaxing the neck and shoulders, and then releasing and purging. Two, three, four, five, six, feeling that beautiful emptiness, feeling the void, being in the space for just a moment, and then consciously choosing to engage the lungs, inhaling, two, three, four, feeling that beautiful life expanding through us as we hold that and feel that beautiful new moment of life filling our bodies and every cell of our body. And then we surrender it once again, exhaling, two, three, four, five, six, completely releasing it all and being in anticipation of the next moment of aliveness. As we inhale, two, three, four, feel the life coursing through our bodies. Feel the life expanding into our field. And now surrendering it again as we release it. Two, three, four, five, six, amazing, staying in that space of void, staying in that emptiness, in that not know, being in anticipation and allowing for the next magical moment of creation. As you inhale, two, three, four, feel that incredible fullness, and now release it, two, three, four, five, six, and resting in that void, resting in that moment of creation. And continuing this rhythm on your own as you begin that inhale again, taking it as fully and completely as possible, feeling the aliveness radiating through your entire body as you pull that life force and fill every cell with your aliveness. And as you rest in that full, rich experience, relaxing the entire body and allowing the heart to be open as you surrender it all once again. And as you surrender it, consciously releasing everything that's attached to it, because it's a new moment. It's a new life to experience. It's a new awareness with every breath, if you allow it. And as you reach the bottom, let the void inform you. Let yourself become comfortable in the emptiness so that you can be in a state of allowing for the best possible next moment as you inhale. And continue to breathe in that rhythm, staying closely connected, feeling the power of that breath as it courses through you. You're not just breathing air into your lungs. You're breathing life force into this entire being. Feel that incredible feeling, that sensation, that tingle, that excitement, that enthusiasm, that exuberance at aliveness. And as you do, take these words in. Just be in the space of these words. And allow them to wash over you. I surrender to my potential. I surrender to my abundance. I surrender to my love. I surrender to my potential. I surrender to my abundance. I surrender to my love. One more time. I surrender to my potential. I surrender to my abundance. I surrender to my love. Feel that powerfully. Feel that completely. And gently allow your awareness now to begin to come back into focus into this reality as we continue our conversation about the illusion of separation. Powerful, powerful stuff, guys. Excellent job. Excellent job. And as we continue on here, I want to carry on in the chapter 7 of the illusion of separation. So we finished with the understanding of, because the core belief that we are separate from God stimulates feelings of unworthiness, as in, if I am separate, it must be because I am not worthy of God's love or attention. Unfortunately, this belief in separation and the resulting experience of unworthiness is translated literally in the mind. What this means is that as you move through your life, your subconscious is scanning your environment and filtering your experiences through your senses and energy, finding evidence of your separation and unworthiness, because that is its job, keeping you safe and alive based on what you tell it through your thoughts and beliefs. In other words, this fear-driven belief is continually reinforced through your physical experience, and from that, you encounter situation after situation that supports your entrenched belief, i.e., I'm not worthy. Take a moment to reread this paragraph and absorb that. Your belief, whether true or imagined, is like a magnet that draws experiences into your life that support that belief being in unworthiness. This is a significant and important thing to understand, because I think, at least as I understand it, the mind, the ego, in its effort to keep the body on the planet, and you know, we've talked about this many a times, my concept of ego is a little different than most, because I believe that the ego is the consciousness that rules the physical body, and its job is to keep the body on the planet. We've given it too much responsibility by not being clean in our energy, by not being pure in our intention, by not being aligned in our highest expression. So it has done the job of trying to keep things stable in things it doesn't comprehend or understand and was not meant to. Its purpose is the physical body, keeping the body here on the planet, keeping it safe. That's where in other episodes we've talked about sameness equals safety. The ego wants to keep you safe, and it does that by looking at the energetic signatures of things that you have within the subconscious warehouse, but also what you're experiencing in life and how those come together. So that as you're moving through your world, as you experience something on an energetic level, or you have a belief, that belief has an energy to it, and that vibration is a certain vibration. Well, all that the ego is doing is going into the subconscious looking for similar vibrations, looking for vibrations that match the vibration that you have, and bringing that information forward. And in bringing that information forward, it is attempting to reinforce what you believe about yourself. And in that effort to do that, it appears that it is negatively reinforced, but really it's just doing what it knows to do, which is associating energy. Like attracts like. Law of attraction is very simple. What you put out, you attract. When you have a belief system that doesn't serve you or does serve you, it's a beacon, because a belief is just a thought you keep thinking. Well, if you keep thinking that thought and generating that energy, then things are going to show up to match it. The ego is going to go into the warehouse of the subconscious, pull forth energy and ideas and thoughts and experiences to support that, so that your perception then continues to show you what you believe, which is that you are unworthy. I hope that makes sense, and I hope that you were following that. It's a very powerful process But it works in all directions. So this is just to help you understand your relationship with fear and unworthiness. If you look closely at your life, you will discover evidence of this that you probably never realized before. For example, if you grew up believing you weren't smart in some area, you probably, quote unquote, found evidence of that throughout your life, which then reinforced your beliefs, such as being a poor conversationalist or not being good with numbers. Further, when we are rooted in current events, mainstream media, etc., we take in constant stimulation of the idea of separation and unworthiness. This idea can be seen in everything from toothpaste ads to whatever is currently in vogue, from causing cancer to making you fat. The key here is understanding that the mind does not differentiate between real or imagined. It simply responds to what you respond to. Here's an example. You're watching a TV, you're watching TV and a commercial plays with a message that if you have this certain product, you will be more alive, more powerful, faster, stronger, healthier, sexier, better. While the message may appear innocuous to your conscious mind, every time you see this commercial, it stimulates in you, the viewer, a sense that you are not enough without this product. When watching a one-hour program, you will typically see a particular commercial a minimum of 4 times. And because we tend to be passive watchers, meaning we are there to be entertained and to relax, our filters are down, putting us in pure receiving mode. So with each successive viewing of that commercial, your subconscious becomes stimulated with this message of separation and not good enough. While you may not be immediately aware of it, your subconscious is processing that data, imprinting the message over and over again. The consequences of this subliminal messaging are many and actually quite far-reaching. Think about this. Have you ever found yourself relaxed while watching TV with your significant other, where things seem fine, and then suddenly, and without warning, the two of you are bickering about virtually nothing? One of you says something, and that something is interpreted through the stimulated energy of separation and unworthiness in your subconscious, which means your system is on heightened alert. Whoops. When these seemingly innocuous words enter into the shared space, they are interpreted through this negatively activated filter and perceived as a threat. And what happens when we are threatened, whether real or imagined? Typically, we react as though our safety is threatened. The result is that the threatened partner returns the attack against the perceived source of aggression, the other person. But here's the real issue. The perception of attack is incorrect because the reaction is actually not to your partner, but to the stimulation you have been receiving through the television. Although our minds do not perceive threat from inanimate objects, the reaction comes because the subconscious has mistakenly determined the cause of the threat as the words or energy it perceived. So, an argument, fight, squabble, or heated exchange of words occurs, stimulating even more agitation. This raises the tension and anxiety, which in turn stimulates the idea of separation and unworthiness even further. It sounds crazy when it's spelled out this way, but the truth is that this belief in separation creates deep-seated emotions that support and encourage feelings of not being safe, understood, or appreciated. These feelings lead to questioning oneself, frustration at not being able to control oneself, and generally bad feelings all around, when all you wanted to do was watch TV and relax. So I want to spend a moment with this, because this is so important. We don't live in a vacuum, guys. Nobody does. We don't live in a vacuum. Our life is a continuing experience, and no thing is separate from another thing. And that's why this is so important to grasp and so important to understand in the evolution of this process of the illusion of separation. The mind does not differentiate between what's real and what's not. It has no ability to do that. It's simply responding to your energy. So if you're watching something on TV that is stimulating fear, it is responding to that fear as if it were happening as if somebody was coming at you with that knife, as if someone was getting ready to shoot you with that gun, as whatever the case may be. That constant stimulation of the fight or flight mechanism is part of the defect that's occurred by the inundation of fear that has been propagated on us for decades and decades and decades and decades and decades. Learning how to deal with that is powerful and important. Learning the influence of that is beyond important. So take a look at that at some point in your own experience. I'd love to hear your thoughts about that, and I'd love to hear your experiences with that, because I know we've all had them. So with all of this tension in the air, your subconscious energy is activated and feelings of fear grow inside. Sometimes they are manageable, but oftentimes they're not. In the case of the example above, regardless of whether or not there is a resolution, there are lingering feelings that are probably all negative. And what is the primary feeling stimulated? You guessed it, fear. Why fear? Well, fear is the undercurrent of all negative feelings. Fear of loss, fear of being out of control, fear of separation, fear of not being good enough, fear of not feeling safe. Depending on the situation, you may feel some or all of these, but it is guaranteed that these feelings of unworthiness in some capacity are there if you are willing to look. Unfortunately, this is only the beginning of the chain of events. It gets better. So let's return to the argument example and say that you and your significant other reach some level of resolve to the situation. The night winds down, you go to bed, but in the back of your mind, you're thinking about what happened, what you said, what she said, what was said to you, replaying and re-envisioning the experience. As you get sleepy, your mind goes into your checklist for the next day at work. You remember a situation that occurred at work that day and know that it needs to be taken care of in the morning. And while a vague sense of uneasiness persists, you drift off to sleep. The next day you wake up feeling okay initially, but as you get ready for the day ahead, you are reminded of last night's fight and a mixture of feelings rise up: anger, sadness, regret, hurt. You have a lot on your plate today though, so you shift to thinking about the issue at work that needs your attention. Oddly, you start feeling a little uneasy. You cannot seem to settle on any definitive resolution and continue turning it over and over, feeling a little frustrated because you know the situation isn't a big deal, and yet it feels like it is. After some time passes, however, you're able to calm down and decide on the steps to take. Upon arriving at work, you're caught off guard with a new and unexpected problem. The shock to the system and this sudden issue stimulates insecurity, and your subconscious is back at work, looking for the threat. Your irritation levels increase. You might even get a little short with coworkers and employees. In your mind, you are questioning, trying to understand why there is another problem, why things feel out of control, and even possibly feeling overwhelmed by the new problem. It is here that the remnants of fear of unworthiness, still being stimulated by the previous night's events, creep into the mix, and the merry-go-round is in full swing. Are you able to connect the dots laid out in this example? It's really important. Again, this is not in any way meant to be and is not convoluted. It's a very direct line that if you can sit with yourself and watch how these things unfold, you will see, and they go in both directions. It isn't that it always happens at the TV and then ends up going into work. Sometimes it starts at work and you take it home and you beat up on each other from that perspective. All of it still being about fear, all of it still being about inadequacy, all of it still being about unworthiness. All of it's tied to there because, and the reason that you can say that is because it's all about the negative emotion. It's all about the negative experience. So that negative experience is reinforcing continually the illusion of separation. It's a continuous cycle. Every single event and feeling was sourced by the feeling of fear of separation and unworthiness, stimulated by the repetitive message from one or more TV commercials. Let me say that again. Every single event and feeling was sourced by the feeling of fear of separation and unworthiness, stimulated by the repetitive message from one or more TV commercials in this example. But this example is not unusual. This example is, there are a panorama of them that exist all across everything we do, because it doesn't necessarily just have to be the TV. It can be on the radio. It can be a conversation. It can be something you overhear. It can be an experience you have at work. It could be a conversation with your boss. The possibilities are endless here, guys. It's because we're continually creating situations to reinforce the unworthiness and separation, we have a panorama of things we can use for that. So And while I know it seems hard to believe, I encourage you to think about the circumstance where this might have been the trajectory for you. It may not have unfolded exactly as I described here, but what's important is that you recognize how each of us is stimulated almost continually with messages of separation, unworthiness, and not enough when we allow ourselves to be completely engaged in mass media and the like. This is not to demonize these mediums, but rather to bring awareness, as it is only with awareness that you can become conscious of how these messages affect you and how you can better respond to them. In short, to avoid being ruled by fear, you must disengage from things that promote it in you. And the best way to do that is by heightening your consciousness. What does that mean? By spinning up your energy, by the things that we do, by using your breath, by meditating, by yoga, whatever your preference is of things that help you to spin your energy up. That's how you do this. One of the key reasons releasing fear seems so challenging is because fear itself evolves, and it does so by adapting. In other words, the more entrenched someone is in the media and mainstream or mass consciousness, the more adaptable this fear becomes. From the example provided, you can see that fear moves freely from one area of your life to another, evolving and adapting, influencing just about everything. This is not because of some alien presence, demonic spirit, karma, or God's punishment. It comes from the core belief that you are separate from God, source, and love. And when we hold this belief in separation, it creates the illusion that we are not safe in the world and that there are threats at every turn. As we briefly touched on in Chapter 3, and we'll focus on exclusively in Chapter 12, your emotional guidance system informs you of where you are in relation to your alignment with God, self, source. Put simply, negative feelings are the clearest indication that you and your source are not seeing things from the same perspective, and that you are therefore out of alignment with that larger perspective. Let me say that again. Your emotional guidance system informs you of where you are in relation to your alignment with capital S self, God, or source. Put simply, negative feelings are the clearest indication that you and your source are not seeing things from the same perspective, and that you are therefore out of alignment with that larger perspective. It's critical to note here that fear of separation and feelings of unworthiness are about as far out of alignment as you can get in this physical experience. And when that is your reality, fear continues to evolve. Again, foundational stuff about understanding how these energies work. When you consider that vibrationally fear is at a certain place, joy is at another place, higher on the spectrum, a higher vibrational frequency. When you're focused into that fear, when you become hooked, like the example says, through commercials, for crying out loud, you get hooked. We all get hooked and stimulated and triggered very easily, because we're all energy, and that's, you know, the marketing guys know that. The marketing people know how to stimulate feeling in us. It's been, and it evolved science for decades. I don't think there is a malicious necessary intent in it, but the effect is malicious in our system. And that's the important part. That's the thing that we have to attend to as we move forward. Okay, turn it on. As we briefly talked, so the good news is that while these negative feelings stimulate unpleasant states of being, they're also indicators of our level of alignment. Remember the exercise we did in the previous chapter about expressing appreciation in a moment by moment stream of mundane activity? The point of that was to show you how to raise your vibration consciously. The same applies here. We have the power when we recognize that fear, while it cannot be destroyed, can be released when we elevate our vibration to something greater. Not only does raising your vibration bring you better feeling overall, but it also gives you the ability to see this debilitating illusion of separation. And once the illusion is revealed for what it truly is, you are in the ideal place for quantum positive transformation to occur. So the exercise we're talking about was an active process of appreciation, and that I'll do that some of that for you right here, right now. So how do we do that? It's very simple, actually. It's a process of just focusing into your world and finding things that you appreciate and filling the space with that energy. So I'm going to start that here now. I appreciate that I get to be here today and share this information with you. I appreciate that I had the opportunity to write a book that could impact people. I appreciate that I get to share that information as often and as widely as possible. I appreciate that you're there listening and watching. I appreciate that I have a space that I can do this in, that I feel comfortable and safe. I appreciate that this experience is every time uplifting and expanding and growing. I appreciate that the sun is out today and how warm it feels when I'm outside. I appreciate the amazing hike I got to have today, and I appreciate that I got to have it with my amazing dog, Tucker. I appreciate the joy that he experiences as we go wandering in the mountain together, just sharing moments of love and appreciation for everything around us. And I appreciate that I get to talk to you and you get to talk to me, and we get to share experiences and help each other grow and evolve. And I appreciate that sometimes I'm not the best, I'm not my best, but I appreciate that I can observe that and I can change that by shifting my energy. And I appreciate that I have so much love in my life, and I appreciate all of the beautiful people around me who reflect that love to me. And I appreciate that every time I focus in breath, I feel expanded, I feel bigger, I feel more of who I am. And I appreciate that deeply. I appreciate that I have the opportunity to reach out and touch. I appreciate that I have skills and talents that I can share, and that I can share them freely because I've changed my relationship with fear. So I appreciate that I can step into love easily. And you see how that continues? You just continue the stream of consciousness of appreciation. And as you do, you can see the change in my face. You can see the expansion of my energy. You can feel it, because it continues to grow and I continue to grow in it. And it's a powerful tool that will help you continually to grow out of this illusion of separation. So a couple key things here. We're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll dive into this a little bit more. Dun, dun. FearIsAChoiceBook.com. That's where you can check that out. I appreciate having the time to really take you through these chapters and really give you more in-depth experience about where the writing is coming from and what ultimately is the purpose of this. It's to change our relationship with fear. And to that end, I'm going to take another quick break. We're going to look at the Science of Transformation, this powerful program that is all based in this changing my relationship with fear. And we're going to do that right this second, and then we'll come back and talk about it. I'll be right back. Boom.
The Science of Transformation Method. And I can't tell you the difference that it's made in my life.
This program is all about you coming into the greatest form of you.
We'll be right back.
www.thesciencetransformation.com. So taking where the book leaves off, The Science of Transformation is an incredible program that is about transforming your relationship with fear on multiple levels. One, it's a breath process that helps us to really dive into and tap into this incredible tool that we have to change our world, and that's through breath. And then the second part of that is changing the way the energy is moving through the body, changing the connections that happen, but opening up the energy system, stimulating the prefrontal cortex of the brain, which is the highlight, the place in our brain that is seeking that higher knowledge and seeking that purpose and passion. And the third part of that is the reframing process, because so many times in the human experience, when we encounter things that we don't understand, we tend to look back in history to seek ways to fix it, to seek ways to handle it. And with the Science of Transformation, the reframing is about from now moving forward. We're setting an energetic intention. We're clarifying a destination in energy, in moving our energy and expanding our vibration. And in doing so, things have to change, right? In order to go from, if you're just for purposes of this conversation, and it's not meant to be better or worse, it's just a way to describe it. So say you're at, you're on a scale from 1 to 100, and you're at level 10 and you want to get to level 50. So you set an intention to get to level 50 and you begin to focus into how I do that. And so we have tools within the Science of Transformation to help you begin to create that spin of energy. But the thing that's important to remember about that is that once you do that, once you step into that intention, anything that is between you and that intention that has to change has to become conscious. That's the extraordinariness of energy and what we do. So when it becomes conscious now, you have the ability to choose it or not choose it, to do something different with it. And that's where the power of this program is, because you become consciously aware and then choosing those things that move you forward toward that new vibrational destination in ways that continue to uplift and continue to serve. So www.thesciencetransformation, thank you for checking it out. I have an introductory package, which is awesome. And you can also contact me via email if you have any questions, or we can set up a free consultation to see if this work is right for you, which I think it is good for everybody. I keep putting things up here that shouldn't be here. Here we are. So the illusion of separation is where we end the day. I want to thank you all for being here. Fearsofchoice.com, check it out. Great book. Sorry, it's tough to see in this deal here. There we go. And I thank you for being a part of the show today. Have an incredible day. We'll see you next time on Adventures in Truth. I thank you for being here. Have a wonderful day.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth Livecast. Please like, subscribe, and share. If you'd like to learn more about Jim's book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love, check it out at www.fearisachoicebook.com. Also check out Moments of Truth, a new offering from Adventures in Truth. If you'd like to work with Jim, check out www.thescientetransformation.com to book a session. Tune in live every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time and every Friday, 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Or look for our new releases and podcasts every Monday. Until next time, be well, and we'll see you again on Adventures in Truth Livecast.